Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Chaser Report is recorded on Gadigal land.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report. I'm Charles Firth. And
I'm Dom Knight and everything is going to be just fine, Charles. Don't worry. I know you've been worrying. I want you to stop worrying because multiple situations are going to be just fine. The voice is going to sail through now because Labor and the Coalition have struck a deal, Charles, to manage it. And not only the voice, the war in Ukraine is going to be absolutely fine. Something's happened in the past couple of days. I don't know if you saw it.
Oh, yeah.
It's all going to be okay. Everything's fixed. I can't think of a single problem that hasn't been addressed except climate change, but that's too hard.
All right.
Screw that. Let's talk about stuff that can be fixed.
So it sounds like this episode, Dom, is going to be a very optimistic, happy episode.
Yes, with good news. Because so often, Charles, in this podcast, we've had doom and gloom, COVID.
We focus on such terrible things.
And COVID is back. We might even talk about the fact that we now know almost certainly that it was a raccoon dog.
Yes.
We'll get to that. But
I've always hated raccoon dogs.
While we're – have you?
Yes. Okay. Oh, yes. Ever since I learned about their existence about 3 days ago.
Because you have a raccoon and you have a dog and the two should not mix.
No.
It's unnatural, Charles. It's unnatural.
Yes.
Am I – sounding like a eugenicist there? Probably I am. Anyway, the point is people have been very critical of China.
Yes.
For completely suppressing the information.
Yes.
And some scientists uploaded the genetic signature of that particular virus, which proved that a raccoon dog was involved.
Mm.
Scientists have said, couldn't they have done this 3 years ago and helped us actually figure out what was going on? But the answer was no, because China doesn't want to be responsible for the cause of the virus.
No, exactly.
Yeah, because they know it was the CIA.
What?
The CIA framed China, didn't they?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
That's what they did. Yeah. So anyway, not only is China a trustworthy partner with COVID, committed to truth, but they're going to fix the war in Ukraine. Did you see this?
I noticed it because Putin went to Ukraine, didn't he?
He did. He turned up in Mariupol, which is one of the few areas, the biggest city that's under his control.
Yes,
as a propaganda visit. But then he headed back to Moscow, and Xi Jinping turned up to visit. And it's important to understand how amazing China's role is in this situation, because somehow, Charles, at the same time, they are best friends. In fact, Xi Jinping has called Putin his best friend in the past. They're besties.
Yes.
They have a no-limits friendship between the two countries.
Mm.
They're allies.
Yes.
That word's been used in the past couple of days. They're allies.
Mm.
And yet at the same time, Charles, this is the brilliant thing.
Mm.
China is an honest broker who is staying out of the conflict and wants nothing more than to resolve it.
Oh, that's nice.
And just fix everything. So now that China's involved, now that Xi is there, it's going to be okay. He's going to fix it.
I feel like, Dom, you are adopting that sort of heavy-handed sarcasm tone that you sometimes do.
I know, but Charles, have you read the 12-point peace plan? Because I've got it here, and it's all very, very reasonable.
Oh, okay. So it's all
there
done.
Are 12 points. Even Vladimir Zelensky says that it sounds good.
So you heard it here first on the Chaser Report, peace in our time.
Yes, peace in our time.
Yeah.
Point one, respecting the sovereignty of all countries. That's the first point that China has. Admittedly, this is where the process breaks down at point one of 12 because the big question is, does Russia have to give back the Donbass, the regions that they've already seized, and Crimea? Vladimir Zelensky says absolutely they fucking do.
Yes.
I think
because otherwise people would be, like other countries, would be incentivized to go, oh, you know what, I might just invade that country, take a little bit of it. And then we'll cut a deal.
And then go, you've got to respect borders.
Yes.
You've got to respect existing borders.
Yes.
And no one should invade anyone else. Because if they do that, then if Ukraine tries to take back its own territory, it would be invading Russia. And that wouldn't be okay with China. China wouldn't like that.
Yeah, right.
You've got to respect the sovereignty of all countries,
Charles. Wait a minute. Is this very much a sort of like there's peace in our time, just as long as Ukraine agrees to everything that Russia wants.
Yes, basically. Right. I mean, to be fair, a lot of the points are reasonable.
Yeah,
things like cease hostilities, don't kill anyone, have peace talks, resolve the humanitarian crisis is another one, protect civilians and prisoners of war unless they're in unless they're Uyghurs.
Unless they're Uyghurs, yeah. I was going to say, let's protect human rights.
keeping nuclear power plants safe. I mean, that I think we can all agree on that one, except for Russia.
Yeah.
It's bombed them. Reducing strategic risks is good. Facilitating grain exports. I mean, this is where the West has tried to sanction Russia, I think, isn't it?
Well, the grain exports thing is because Ukraine, I think, supplies 25% of the world's wheat.
It's the food bowl of Europe.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And keeping industrial and supply chains stable, they say, and promoting post-conflict reconstruction. What a good idea. China stands ready, it says here, to provide assistance and play a constructive role in this endeavour. Who's going to pay for it, though, the rebuilding of all the bomb bits of Ukraine?
Well, I think, look, just spitballing here, Ukraine.
It wouldn't be Russia.
It's sort of a bit like, in some ways, I think I understand China's perspective, which is like, Ukraine was sitting there, it was all this tempting land with all this tempting food bowl, wheat stuff, lots of tempting people to kill.
Yeah.
And you can't really blame Russia for then invading Ukraine, seeing as it was sort of –
They were lured.
Yeah, they were lured in.
By all that excellent Ukrainian soil. And you know what happened with the soil, don't you, Charles?
What?
It turned into mud. And once the tanks went through, it turned into mud and they got bogged down.
Which is Ukraine's fault because at that point it was still Ukrainian territory.
And it should have just surrendered it. That would have been the best thing to do.
Well, no, but also like it's their fault for making it mud.
Yep, absolutely. It was a trap.
Yes.
They set a booby trap for Russia.
Yeah.
And had Russia done even the slightest research into, I don't know, the concept of driving tanks in Ukraine, they would have realised that it was a terrible idea to send columns of tanks in. They didn't, and therefore they're losing. So this is the thing. From Russia's perspective, what are they going to do? They can't win. They already
have won.
The whole point
is they've won because Xi Jinping has come up with a peace plan
that gives them the territory that they want.
Yeah, exactly.
But isn't it hugely embarrassing for Vladimir Putin to just be the little cousin? You know what? You know what's happened? Vladimir Putin is the Australia in the relationship and Xi Jinping is the America.
Yes.
They're the junior partner.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wonder.
Deputy Sheriff of the authoritarian country.
Has China happened to sell Russia any nuclear subs to get through the mud?
They are. Actually, did you see a train left China with, I think, like 110, like, excavators?
Oh, really?
Possibly to dig the tanks out of the mud. I'm not sure what's going on there. But, no, look, I am being sarcastic on some level, but it is quite possible that China will force Russia to accept its peace plan so it can look like a good international citizen and things will actually end, except for the thorny question of what to do with the bits of territory that Russia's seized because it's not going to give those back. Why would Ukraine declare peace until it gets them back? So unless China gives them lots of money maybe, I don't know.
I've got a solution.
Oh, yeah.
Which is what if you sort of did some sort of AI simulation, right?
Oh,
you
gave, that sounded good.
You gave Putin one of those fancy new Apple AR headsets when they come out.
That's good.
And you make him believe that what he's seeing is, you know, Russia owning Ukraine and everything like that.
So he walks around the Donbass with the glasses on and sees all these Russian flags everywhere.
Yes, yes.
But actually they don't really exist.
No, exactly.
That's a brilliant idea.
And you create sort of alternative reality. And you could apply that to all foreign policy. You could solve every single foreign policy problem.
That's brilliant.
By just allowing people to have their own reality.
You could give Albo and Peter Dutton for that matter. And they wouldn't need the submarines. You could have digital submarines just swimming offshore.
But also all the gas wells that they're building, Labor's building, you could give them to like Chris Bone and Tanya Plibersek and Anthony Albanese. They could go up to Queensland and Santos, like the actual company that's building all the gas wells. And they could see all these gas wells and the gas pumping out into the atmosphere. You might even be able to get some sort of bodysuit that makes it feel extra warm,
yeah,
you know, and stuff like that, and maybe, you know, like simulate a drought or, you know, extreme weather conditions. And
oh, so it looks as though climate change has progressed.
Yes, exactly. And they'll go, oh, great, our policies are working. And yet what actually happens in reality is we don't build the oil wells and we instead fix everything.
I mean, that's a very solid idea, Charles. Yes, I like it. But has it occurred to you that a much easier alternative would be just fucking the earth and doing nothing and then having AR headsets that convince us. Mm. So we're walking around a field and it's actually a burnt wasteland. There's nothing there. But through our headsets and through the goggles we're wearing, we're seeing beautiful fields.
Well, that does seem to be the plan of the leaders of the world at the moment, isn't it?
What if James Cameron designs it and it looks like Pandora? Oh. We don't have to live on the Earth anymore. We can live in the world of Avatar.
And the problem is if James Cameron designed it, it would go on and on forever.
Plus, everything will have breasts. I don't know if you heard this story.
What?
When he was designing the Navi initially... No.
Yes.
His point was, no, they don't actually need breasts. They don't suck all their young the way that humans do.
Right.
But he just gathered them anyway, just to be sexy. So I'm just imagining in the James Cameron alternative reality, like hills.
Is there a porn version of Avatar that he's made?
I'm sure there
is. It just goes around.
Oh, he does like going down.
Hey.
Anyway.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
None of the medical advice contained in the Chaser Report should legally be considered medical advice. The Chaser Report.
Charles, it's going to be fine.
I can see your point, which is the plan is for our reality to be bad.
Yeah.
But I actually think, you know, like we promised the listeners an optimistic podcast.
Okay.
And I think I've solved the world's problems.
You have.
I think... We just give everyone AR headsets as soon as they come out, like all the world's leaders. Mm. They can go off into their own fantasy land. And actually, while they're distracted, we can maybe, you know, like with Putin, if he's got the headset on, just maybe, you know, push him over near towards the window.
I wanted to talk about this because, I mean, the sort of Russian accidental death syndrome.
Yes, which is all about defenestration.
It is very – well, a lot of it's defenestration. There are other forms as well. I mean, don't forget the Novichok and all that kind of stuff. But
Novichok in the underpants.
A lot of – I've actually got the Wikipedia here. I think something like 38 Russians have had terrible accidents. It's funny, Charles.
Russian windows. 38 in the last week, isn't it? Yeah.
I don't know if you know this, but Russian windows tend to be very loyal to Vladimir Putin because as soon as someone criticizes the war or says anything negative, even if they immediately dial it back and go on social media and say, I'm so sorry, Vladimir Putin's my hero, I support the war completely, the windows will still somehow open exactly the wrong moment and they'll fall out.
Dom, you're being very cynical. I think the excuse that I often hear when somebody defenestrates themselves and jumps out the window is that so overcome with remorse and guilt were they that they chose to throw themselves out the window because they had realised that they had said something that Putin didn't agree with and they just...
Oh, they felt too bad.
They felt too bad.
No, it was 38 in between 2014 and 2017. There have been dozens more since.
Oh, yeah, no, because, I mean, even just the number of generals who've been defenestrated in the last few months.
And it's interesting how often they had massive assets that just somehow ended up under the control of Vladimir Putin thereafter. Yeah.
Yes, isn't that...
Someone's got to look after all those giant gas and oil companies that they used to
exactly.
own.
Exactly, yeah.
So, but maybe... Instead of doing that, Vladimir Putin could just have a headset that shows him the mutilated bodies of his opponents on the ground and they wouldn't actually have to die, right? Wouldn't that be easier if he just thought they'd all died?
Yes. I think this is my proposal. I think, you can quench the bloodthirstiness of every tyrant just by giving them an AR headset.
That's a very good idea. Now, Charles, on to the other thing that's been solved, and this apparently without Xi Jinping's help, and as always, we as two white men are the perfect people to comment on the voice debate, but a deal's been struck. The Coalition and Labor have come together to work out the deal. For the referendum. It's just happened as we record.
Yes.
And so the deal is there wasn't going to be any pamphlet outlining the yes and no case. Because I think some in the government took the very small-minded view that you couldn't have a no case without it being horribly racist. That was the view that they initially took. But the Coalition have managed to make them see sense and have a no case that comes to all of our houses anyway.
Right.
Right, so everyone's going to get something in the mail that explains the reasons to vote no.
Well, I think that's what happened in 1999, wasn't it?
Yes.
You got both sides of the argument presented to you.
You did.
Yeah.
But what they're not going to do is fund both sides of the campaign. They're not going to allow government money to tell people to vote no.
And I think part of the point there is that Labor's setting up these mechanisms for all future referenda, right?
Yes.
And what they don't want is, because you can imagine a scenario where some fuckwit, you know, gets elected and wants to run a referendum on should transgender people exist or something.
So let's call them Mark Latham, just to choose an example from this week's news.
And you could exploit that by going some referendum that would definitely never get up, but use it as an opportunity to then massively bankroll one side of the argument, you know, like to give them a whole lot of money that they would otherwise not get.
I think it's called the Referendums Mechanism Bill. It's not just about this one. It's about all referenda down the track. Yeah. So it means you can't, for the Republic debate, for instance, spend lots of public money on each side of the campaign. Yeah.
So that's good. So who came to the party on that? Was it the Libs or the Greens? Libs.
They could have worked with the Greens and David Pocock. They had lots of ideas to, I guess, you know, make it a little bit more progressive. David Pocock wanted to have the advertising blackout period and so on, and whereas I think the Coalition just wanted blackout in general of the Constitution.
Or white out, probably.
White in, black out, I think was the position. So Peter Dutton, of course, hasn't actually said whether he supports The Voice or not. The debate's been going for more than a year and he hasn't actually got a position yet.
Do you think maybe he's just very slow at reading? Because you know how initially he said, oh, I need more detail, and then they mailed him that 100 pages
long, Professor Megan Davis and so on.
And he's now going, oh, no, I should never have asked for more detail.
See, Charles, the thing is he just has a lot of questions. He just has a massive amount of questions about exactly what would happen. And
maybe what we should do is create an app that you put the glasses on and you see what it would be like if there was a Indigenous voice to Parliament.
I mean, the government's perspective on that is, well, but we don't know, because the whole point of the legislation is that we will then decide as a Parliament, which you're a member of, Peter.
Yes.
We'll then discuss then what the voice is going to look like. It doesn't make sense to have the discussion before you have the power to actually legislate for it. Whereas he says, no, I must know the answer to all these questions. And some cynics have suggested that this is an attempt to derail the debate.
Yes, of course it is.
By arguing about the mechanisms and the processes rather than the substance. Because if you argue about the substance, Charles, you sound a tad racist. Have you noticed?
So
you can't say you don't want.
Yes.
I know. I should say the Nationals have no problem saying that you shouldn't have the voice in the Constitution. But Peter Dutton doesn't want to come out and say that.
No.
Especially
because the Teal vote.
So he's just said there's problems with the process. Well, I just want to know, can this legislation be applied to the TV show The Voice and the mechanisms by which that's conducted?
Imagine if you had The Voice to Parliament and it was Delta Goodrum.
Wouldn't that be massively disappointing if after all this debate and fuss, the proposed model is actually just chairs flipping around?
Yeah, but what if it actually turns out to be a rockin' great Aboriginal singer to Parliament?
That'd be good.
That'd be fucking unreal.
That'd be
and imagine
amazing.
Question Time set to music.
You could get Dan Sultan up there or something.
Yeah.
Christine Arnoux.
Yeah.
That's a model. You should tell Peter Dutton that that's on the table.
Yeah, no, I think that's the way to do it, is to answer Peter Dutton's questions with just really specific but highly popular ideas like that. Because then he'd have to be the anti-Christine Arnoux candidate.
No one's going to.
Yeah, exactly. She's lovely.
She is fabulous. You might have just solved the whole.
I've solved it.
You've solved it.
I've solved world peace. I've solved climate change, and I've solved The Voice to Parliament.
But Charles, you know what will happen if we can't get if we can't get the two sides to meet, like they've managed to cut a deal on this, and Labor and Liberal, Labor and the Coalition really have a common interest in freezing out the Greens. That seems increasingly clear.
Yeah, yeah, oh, totally. But well, Katie Gallagher was on radio earlier this week saying actually the whole problem is that the Libs don't want to negotiate with her, and so she's being forced to negotiate with the Greens, which she says is ridiculous
because really
she'd much prefer to buy in the
business sector.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Charles, what will happen, I guess, in the event that they can't work out a deal between the Coalition, if Peter Dutton and his colleagues for some reason just keep opposing The Voice and try and tell Peter the whole idea, there's one person who can come in and sit the two parties down and sort it all out.
Me.
Xi Jinping.
Oh, the Xi Jinping.
The honest broker.
Yes.
He'll come in.
Yes.
And he'll just look at both sides and he'll do whatever Russia wants.
Yes. But the good thing is that, like, you know, that sort of plays into our favour because presumably Indigenous people will be there and they'll say, hey, you know, all these white people stole all our land. Mm. And Xi Jinping will go, oh, well. Don't have to give
it's
it back.
It's been taken.
It's been taken.
Let's respect the existing borders.
I think that really works in white people's favour.
Well, what we'll probably end up with in that process, which kind of reflects the geopolitical reality, is China's voice to parliament. So we just find out what the Chinese government thinks on an issue and have to act accordingly.
Isn't that just Twiggy Forrest's lobbying sort of?
I think that was actually Sam Dastyari, wasn't it? Wasn't it Sam Dastyari the Chinese voice to parliament at one point?
Oh,
former friend of the
several
show.
Several points.
Yeah.
There you go. Just a little treason.
Just a little bit there. I mean, it's so, when you've got bags of money, Charles, it's just so hard to source them appropriately. I've always found.
Our gear is from Rode. We are part of the Iconoclast Network. We'll be back tomorrow. Now, also, just a reminder, if you're in Sydney, we're having a rally on Sunday to oppose the horrible changes to the superannuation system, which affect people who have over $3 million in cash
in
their
outrageous.
Super.
It's outrageous.
Dom and I have been very, very distressed about this.
It's the politics of jealousy, Charles.
Yes, because, you know, how are we going to make ends meet with only $3 million in cash?
Actually, is Sam Dastyari coming to address the rally? Because he's quite well off these days, isn't
it? It's $3 million rimbimbi.
Yeah, that's right. Don't forget to give us a review on Apple Podcasts, by the way, and it's a fantastic chance just to wish Rupert Murdoch happy fifth wedding. That's what we want to see.
Yes, that's right.
And just give us 5 stars if you wouldn't be so kind on the way through. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.
See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.